Wondery's new podcast, Dis and Tell, wades into the glorious mess of celebrity beef. Each episode explores a different iconic celebrity feud and asks, what does our obsession with these feuds say about us? Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today, as usual, is the resilient and wonderful Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hello. Just overcoming one thing at a time, Ben.
Yeah.
One day at a time. I just keep getting back up.
Yeah. That's what you do. That's what you do. So, everyone, welcome to Southern Charm Reunion Day. It's a big reunion episode. If you didn't hear our announcement earlier this week, tickets for the 2024 Golden Crappies are actively on sale right now. Go to watchforcrappens.com to get your tickets. The show is going to be on February 17th at Palace Theater, downtown Los Angeles. Come, there are a lot of people who actually are flying in. I'm not saying that you have to do that. I'm just saying it's going to be a really exciting time. Everyone's going to be amped. It's a great time. We always have tons of guests. We celebrate the year of Bravo. We give out awards in all sorts of fun categories. We always have a blast. People should come. It's going to be so much fun. So come join us. And also, if you're interested in a little peek behind the curtain on the Crappies process, we had a double bonus episode this week where Ronnie and I started whittling down the Crappies ballot, because there will be some voting, obviously, this year. That's going to be coming soon. So we're preparing the ballot. If you want to hear us try to figure out what are going to be some good categories for this year, or who should be, and what should be nominated, what shouldn't be. It's literally us talking for like nearly 90 minutes. It's really fun, two-parter. So go check that out on Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And you also, if you support on the video level, you can watch us, and not just me and Ronnie, you also get to watch Bueller, Ronnie's dog, who just took a seat on the sofa behind Ronnie.
He sure did. Okay, let's get into it. Southern Charm Reunion Part 1. You know, the first part of this reunion, I thought, oh my God, they have nothing. Okay, they have nothing. They're going to try and string this along to just get to the Taylor fight already. How many episodes is this going to be? Just come on. And then when Olivia and Taylor both came in Ariana revenge dress red with cutouts, I was like, okay, you know, enough you two. And then they dropped a bomb at the end of this that just, I'm still horrified.
you were really shaken horrified by it. You texted me.
You weren't?
I was like, oh, but it was not I was not compelled to go to text. I don't know why.
Wow.
I don't know why.
Wow, I was. I was like, I'm shook. I cannot believe they just dropped this bomb on Southern Charm. Can you believe it? And he's like, I haven't watched it, but I will. And then I didn't hear anything from you. So, wow. You're not only compelled to not text, you're not even compelled to text back about it.
Oh, I didn't text back? I thought I texted back.
You should at least say, like, I'm shooketh too.
Wait, did I didn't text back?
Okay, like, what the hell?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sure we were texting later, but it's not like you just left me hanging. But I just mean, like, when someone else is breathless, you have to pretend you're breathless. You can't just let someone else scream on a roller coaster.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You're that person on the roller coaster. I'm like this. My arms are up. I'm like, wah, freaking out, making a funny face. And Ben's just like cross-armed, like looking out the side. Like, this roller coasters are stupid.
Well, to be fair, last week with Reality Von T's, that was me. I was like, oh my God. And you're like, yeah, I knew about this 2 weeks ago. So, you know. Everyone That's has true. Twists that affect okay, them in different right. ways, it's you know? Karma.
Okay, you know what? You're on Space Mountain, and I'm on the Matterhorn.
We have different roller coasters that appeal to our different sensibilities, and that's okay. That's what makes us a podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it was...
I forgive you. Okay. Even though I'm dating someone else now. Sorry!
So, people, the reunion starts with people showing up We see like backstage stuff, people getting ready. We see Craig putting in eye drops. He's like, these are like prescription eye drops for like news anchors. Which, by the way, I can only imagine Craig reading the news. Like, this just in, Paige's coming into town. Like, she's like so cute. We're going to try to get married someday. More details later.
Craig is a newscaster. Well, the weather's really not cool right now, but like, just so you guys know, you should not talk to your ex. Like, when it's over, it's over. That's when I tell everybody.
This just in, the government is working hard to avoid a shutdown, if you even believe that the government really truly exists.
The government, or as I like to call it, a bunch of people not in panda suits yet.
NASA, this just in, NASA has just received huge cuts in its budget, which means that their next movie, Landing on the Moon Again, has been indefinitely canceled.
So JT is trying really hard because he's JT. And he's a tryhard. He's making an effort. Is he an entertaining tryhard? Sure. But he really is trying hard. He comes in his Tom Cruise glasses, his, what's the movie called?
Top Gun. He's got the aviators. Top Gun,
his glasses. And he's like popping his cleavage while he gets his hair done. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, look at my cleavage popping off there. Look at that.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, let's just say I was undisciplined last night, which means I'll be unhinged today. I'm like, as opposed to which days? So then Austin in the other room is still doing his 80s bully thing. He's like, oh, JT, like, what a fucking nerd. Like, I'm just not going to be dragged down by anyone out here today. Like, weird, crazy. I'm going to, hey, JT, meet you at 3 p.m. sharp, okay? I'm going to beat you up. Ugh, insane right now.
He really is that like that. Like, JT, he's the guy who doesn't get the girl. I'm the guy. Who gets the girl? I wish he showed up in his homecoming jacket like Corey did on the Winter House reunion, who literally wore like his high school homecoming
jacket. It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. I don't know if it was literally that, but it was like that style. Yikes.
And then Shep in his own dressing room was like, gosh, Austin, it's just like astounding the lack of contriteness. There, you know, there's a quote by Napoleon. Never interfere with your opponent when he's making mistakes. It's rude. Oh.
That is not the quote. Okay. The quote is, never interfere with an enemy in the process of destroying himself. Stupid. And also, if we're going to quote Napoleon, how about Napoleon Dynamite? That's who you quote, okay?
A liger. It's pretty much my favorite animal. It's like a lion and a tiger mixed. Bred for its skills and magic.
Or you can just quote a Napoleon ice cream. Which is just, I don't know actually how you, never mind. So,
just like, why am I breaded? Is Napoleon ice cream breaded? What's Napoleon? What's a Napoleon?
Isn't that the one that's like chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry all together?
No, that's Neapolitan.
Yes, it is. You're correct.
Dessert.
And Napoleon does not exist.
Now we can't leave people hanging. There's people really, yes, there is. It's a cake. A French Napoleon is pastry sheets and icing. They kind of decorate it. It kind of looks like a tiramisu, but like more crunchy, I guess.
Wow.
What is Napoleon dessert from? Puff pastry. And it originated from Russia.
So it's basically like the tops and the bottoms of something, but no middles, right? It's the frosting and the crust.
Oh, it's layers. So it's like layers.
It's like
layers,
crust and frosting. Crust. Yeah. But there's nothing on the inside.
Yeah, crust and frosting.
So Vanita shows up and she's very nervous for Taylor. And Taylor is like, wow. Olivia is a very, very bold person. I mean, I'm in the hot seat, but there's other things that need to be discussed.
And then Olivia is telling all of the people getting her ready, who, by the way, they're like cutting off threads and doing all this stuff to the dress. The dress never fits. They never find a way to make the dress fit. So I'm not really sure what all those people are there for. But sometimes it's important to give a review of people doing bad tailoring. Mm-hmm. And that's you guys. You're doing a terrible job.
It's no Garrow Sparrow.
Now, please... Please sing them off for them.
Take my breath.
Sorry. So it's a carryover from Beverly Hills. So Olivia's like, I'm sorry, but like, that's like because of your actions. But like, that's not like the person that like I want in my life.
So, yeah, it's another great observation by Olivia. So now they all go to the stage. This set is gorgeous and sumptuous. Someone on Twitter posted a photo of like the Real Housewives of Orange County reunion and the Salt Lake City reunion. And I'm just going to like extend it by posting this one too. And their tweet was like, Orange County got like a gorgeous wraparound IMAX experience for a set. And Salt Lake City got the set of Goonies. And it's so true. Like, this set is beautiful. And, like, I wanted to, like, live in this set. And Orange County was gorgeous. And Salt Lake City with its, like, weird fake snow and, like, fake Bermuda in the background with, like, netting.
Did you see the Lisa Barlow tweet? She said, I did not wear Tom Ford to be in a shipwreck.
Did you see, by the way, I'm sure you saw it by now, did you see that a like someone in Congress quoted receipts proof timeline as part of their like anti-Trump damning case? I thought that was hilarious.
Just when you think our government can't get more fucking ridiculous, they're quoting Housewives while they're telling somebody off.
God,
I was like,
God
who bless. The fuck? Who the fuck is this person? And I clicked on it. It's like Mayor of Long Beach, and I was like, oh yeah, well, okay, that explains it. You go Long Beach, Missy Cherry Avenue used to live on you. So now everybody comes out. They're being seated, and Andy is like, welcome everybody. I'm here to rehash so much drama that it might cause some people, wait for it, some silent discomfort.
And I would like to also point out that, like, they show, of course, a trailer of, like, what's to come. And, of course, like, the preview of what's to come starts with, Shep, is it true you don't like women to orgasm? You don't like them to finish? I was like, of course it starts with that.
So, Shep, how about those new boobs? Looking good. So Shep's like, whoa, I like the motif of the set this year. He's like, yeah, it's based on your privilege. I mean, family's house in the mountains. Built on privilege.
And then Andy says, by the way, he says this season ended with a big cliffhanger, but we're going to get to that later. Was there a cliffhanger? I thought it was just Shep walking out of the party, right?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't remember that at all. So, yeah.
Was there? Should I look at the notes from last week?
Sure, but I thought it was just they walked out of the party. So then...
Southern Charm. Let's see how it ended. It ended because Austin and JT were fighting, and Austin pushed JT off the stool, and then we didn't mention that JT had to jump up to try and headbutt Austin, which is really funny. Like, he's playing volleyball with the person's head. Just like, I can do it. I'm going to get the girl one of these days. Like, and then Shep was just like, our relationship, me and Austin's relationship, is very frayed. So I guess that's the cliffhanger.
I guess so.
Will Shep and Austin make up?
Yeah, I don't think that was a big cliffhanger. So yeah, Shep is like, oh yeah, I love the motif. The mountain house, that's my happy place where I can play ping pong and yell at girls.
So Andy asked Taylor, he's like, so did Ariana give you advice about your revenge dress? That's real original over there, Taylor. And they're both kind of in these dresses, right? Taylor and Olivia. And Taylor's like, I'm wearing my Scarlet Letter. I'm owning up to everything. Oh, really? What'd you do? I haven't read the cards yet. I didn't know you were still on this show. Must not have been too good because you are not the first chair. Okay. And so, also, is Andy sitting in front of prop rhino tusks? Like, why do the sets of these shows even have to be problematic? Like, why does a reunion set to be problematic?
Why do they have a depiction of that dentist holding up Cecil the lion back there?
Jimmy John.
Was that his name, Jimmy John?
The dentist? No. Jimmy John is the one who owns a sandwich shop. Jimmy John's. And he was like a big game hunter. Which, by the way, last time I brought him up, people reminded me Jimmy John sold that place. Oh. So it's we can eat there now and not feel like we've killed a tiger to do it.
Yeah.
Or a liger.
So, hey, Olivia. Wait, did you introduce Olivia already? No, I don't think you did. Just tell. Hey, Olivia, We should also mention Olivia's wearing red today. She goes, yeah, but I don't have a scarlet letter. And guess what? I don't even understand what a scarlet letter means. Why would you send a letter in the mail on red paper? Doesn't make sense.
He's like, okay. Like he does not care. And so he loves Madison. He came into her dressing room before. He's like, what are you, Marilyn Monroe? That is amazing. And now he sees her again and he's like, oh, wow. Hi, Marilyn Monroe. What? Madison Monroe. Oh, wow. Okay, all right, come on.
I know. He was like, I'm not going to say it. Icon. Well, sorry. It's just inside all of us gays. You just have to hit the right button and it'll come on out.
I am literally shaking at Madison Monroe right now.
Mother. So Andy's like, hi, Vanita. Last year you gave us Barbiecore. What are you giving this year? She goes, waiting to exhale. And you know that no one on that stage except for Andy knew what she was referencing. What does that mean, waiting to exhale?
So he asked JT how he feels. And he's like, I think that I am going to perform a fuckboy exorcism. That's what you're going to get from me.
That demon is coming out of the day, boy. Today, boy. It's coming out, boy. And Austin's like, boy. Like, God, what a jerk. What stupid. Who is this guy?
It's dry so I know.
This
hard.
Is like an Uba. It's
like, just give it.
Remember how Uba came in like so hot too? Remember Uba started the room and be like, oh yeah, but Jenna, she's like not even the person that you she's like fake. Jenna is totally fake. Like, okay, we're just saying hello. Okay.
It's like the first reunion jitters, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, he doesn't stop the entire time. He's really trying to make it happen. And it's like, bro, you can't make yourself out to be this huge badass. You're kind of a stalker, okay? And we all know it. You just keep rehashing the scene of Taylor dropping him, or not dropping him, but rejecting him over and over, and then him just going, okay, I guess I'll just continue to repress this.
Andy's like, hey, JT, it's minute one of the reunion, and I do appreciate you coming in hot, but we're going to get there. Don't worry. We're going to get there.
Well, hey, Lama, who's watching Republic? Can you access the security cameras on your phone? Because your eyes on that will be more eyes than are on your show.
And last, but certainly not least, Austin Kroll. How are you feeling about being on here today? And he's like, oh, Andy, I'm anxious. I'm anxious to get this underway and, like, hopefully move on. Like, whether it's a bad direction or good direction, like, today it will be figured out. Also, by the way, JT is a dweeb. Okay, just want to say that. Thanks.
Well, I can tell you this much, Austin. You've aged a papa or two. Congratulations. Okay, serious. Who here thinks pandas are real? And this is when I was like, okay, this reunion is going to offer us nothing. Okay? This is like the Costco sample people with me. It's like you're just cut off from anything good at this point, okay?
So Craig's like, I think that pandas are just bears and like, I mean, people in bear costumes. I was like, okay, well, Captain from Grudge says, Craig, what's the point of the tin hat? Who are you trying to keep out of your head? He goes, the people, the voices, Naomi. Mm-hmm.
She's like, I'm still here, Craig, you stupid fucking idiot. Sorry. I just keep Naomi on my speakerphone just to remember, don't talk to your exes.
What's wrong with my tinfoil?
Yeah, so Andy's asking them, okay, what do you think? True or false, the earth is flat. True or false, Bigfoot is real. This one's for Austin. True or false, if you look to the left, you're lying. Am I right? Remember that one, everybody? I do not watch his show, but it sounds good. So, Austin, were you lying when you look back at that scene at the restaurant? And he's like, I was, bending the truth, little Andy. Bending the truth.
And JT's like, can we all agree that he wasn't bending the truth? He was lying. Fuckboy exorcism. The power of fuckboys compels you. So then everyone's like, yeah, I think that everyone saw that. I mean, he said I bended the truth. Okay, great. Thank you, liar, fuckboy, tall person. Also, by the way, Austin, I mean, Austin's really so terrible. When Andy asked about like the you look down and to the right when you lie, Austin's response was, no, I mean, I think I can look in lots of directions and still lie. It's like, that's not, you shouldn't be saying that. Don't say that.
That's not something to brag about, you dumb dumb.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Being an actual royal is never about finding your happy ending. But the worst part is, if they step out of line or fall in love with the wrong person,
it changes the course of history.
I'm Arisha Skidmore Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
We've been telling the stories of the rich and famous on the hit Wondery show, Even the Rich, and talking about the latest celebrity news on Rich and Daily. We're going all over the world on our new show, Even the Royals.
We'll be diving headfirst into the lives of the world's kings, queens, and all the wannabes in their orbit throughout history. Think Succession meets The Crown meets real life.
We're going to pull back the gilded curtain and show how royal status might be bright and shiny, but it comes at the expense of, well, everything else. Like your freedom, your privacy, and sometimes even your head. Follow Even the Royals on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Even the Royals early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So,
it's so bad.
So, Andy's like, all right, well, when Madison wasn't going ham in Jamaica, she was, let's face it, Madison really didn't do a lot, but God, I want to fuck your husband. Tell me about him. What's his penis like? And does he trim?
Yeah. How does your marriage work exactly? Which days is your hot husband away from you? Does he open to new experiences on those days?
Well, I'll tell you this much. Here's about what I've been doing. I've been cooking. I've been cleaning. I've been getting houses ready for men's. You know, I'm just real Martha Stewart right at this point. You know, I would love to argue with y'all, but really I just want to make cookies for my man, who I love, because that's where a woman's place is. I can't wait to have a baby for him.
And, you know, he's gone for 3 to 4 days a week, and, like, then he's home for the rest, and I don't think anyone could put up with me for 24/7. I'm just a woman, you know, but he says he can.
And Andy's like, wow! Well, Austin, you got a lot of blowback for your comment about Breck that he was not as good-looking as Madison made him out to be. Do you care to address the pictures I have of him in my phone and then reassess?
Does the amount of delusion in your brain come in pill form? Because if so, it would actually sell, unlike your stupid, stinky, smelly hair. Okay.
Whoa! Ah, I just coughed. Hey, Keto from Diet says, the fact that Austin thinks he looks just as good as Brett shows that his self-awareness is zero. You know what? I think that's going to get a ha-ha-ha from me.
Well, I will say this. Brett met Austin, and this isn't a dig, Austin, okay? But he knew there was nothing to worry about.
And Austin's, Andy goes, well, it's not a dig. I mean, come on. She goes,
okay, well, let's just say he's confident. We call him Baby Arm. Okay? He's got that kind of confidence.
So then they talk about what a great stepdad he is and blah, blah. And I love Madison, but I'm bored with normalcy. I really just need Madison coming out here swinging. Like, everyone gets a normal season. I think that Madison was still one of the most entertaining people on this season, even though I'm generally bored by her
at-home stuff.
I'm going to water plants now kind of storyline. Right. But, yeah, I need you to level somebody to the ground.
And Andy asks about that scene with Hudson, that heartbreaking scene where Hudson comes back and he's been beaten up. And Andy is like, so what happened after that? And she goes,
well, you know, I tried to talk to the mom and the dad, but, you know, they weren't home. So I just spoke into the Ring camera, and let's just say she took care of it.
Yeah, here's what I said. I said, your kid is horrible, but just know this bitch. Austin Kroll's even more pathetic. Am I right?
You know what? I looked in that Ring camera. I said, if you ever come for me or my family again, this will cost you a lot.
By the way, you know, those people are horrible because if they had any decency, they would have released that phone footage. They would have released that Ring cam footage.
No shit. I mean, that's what we need.
Listen here, bitch. I'm the lady over there, the one with the perfect plants that have been watered just the right amount that aren't drowned but also aren't dry. That's right. You can probably smell fresh cookies and perfectly cooked steak coming over from my row house Now listen here and get ready to die. Because the next time I see you in the Harris Teeter, your ass is grass. Got it?
Yeah. Whoever you are, you awful people, release the footage. So Leva thinks that Madison did it really perfectly. And then Madison's hope, you know, Andy asks about what's going on with baby two. And she says, it's, you know, it's God's plan. And then he asks Vanita if there's been a change in Madison. And Vanita says that, like, it's been really refreshing. She has, like, a, you know, she's, like, grown up more or whatever. It's been a refreshing new vibe, all that fun stuff. And Andy's like, hey, Shep, I see your foot is actually rotating so quickly. It's generating electrical current. Good for you. Renewable resource. Do you ever see yourself settling down? What's going on with you?
Whoa, I just don't know that I'm built for it. I mean, it just seems like so much monotony.
And he's like,
you mean monogamy? What's the difference?
Touche. That's how you use that word, Olivia. By the way, there you go. And she's like, quid pro quo, Andy. Quid pro quo. So Leva's like, Shep, to be honest, when I had my son, I was like, oh my God, mom, I'm never going to be able to leave again because I have to give this fucking asshole a bath every day. And then I learned to believe it's beautiful to have the nanny giving him a bath every day. You could do it too, Shep.
I swear to God, if I hear another, like, children MLM speech from someone, you know, like, oh.
It is a cult like
it's that. It's like, look. I fully respect that raising children is probably the most rewarding thing you could do in your life. I get it. But I don't need the speech anymore. Like, how many times have you received the speech? Do you ever want to have a child? Really? Because I didn't want to have a child. And then, honestly, I wake up every day and I'm like so glad I have a child. I'm happy for you. I genuinely am. Don't want a child. I can barely take care of a plant.
I know it's like CrossFit.
It is CrossFit.
Like, we get it. It's like people who don't
own a timeshare.
That's all they can talk about.
Yeah.
So Craig is like, yeah, well,
let's call back.
The happiest I've ever seen, the happiest I've ever seen Shep is like when he was with Taylor. That's it. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to cop to that. That was the happiest I've ever been in my entire life when I had Taylor by my side. What a regret. I'm like, wow, she must already have a new boyfriend because you're really laying it on thick. Any other time you would have been like, oh no, if I say something like that, she's going to come running back to me. But now you can be like, oh my gosh, poor me, I'm the victim. So you can get laid by more people going, oh, poor Shep, every night at the bar your daddy got you.
Oh, wait, no, I wasn't talking about Taylor Ann. I was just saying going to the tailor was great. It's the first time I ever had clothes that fit me properly. So happy. So, and
you should try it, Olivia.
Leva's like, honestly,
no offense,
I used to never go to the tailor. And then I learned that actually the tailor is the greatest thing. So you really should look into it. So you should try it, Olivia. I get it now. So Andy's like,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it was funny. I would enjoy my tailor. You're dropping lots of funny Easter eggs. So Andy is like, well, hey, Taylor, you're kind of, I got possessed by Shep for a second there. You're kind of sneering at Shep right now. What's that all about? It's almost like you were dating him, and then he cheated on you, and then you guys broke up, and you found someone else, and now he's acting like you were the love of his life, and he misses you. Why are you sneering?
But she wasn't
sneering. She wasn't.
Which was so funny. She looked like she was about to cry. I mean, first of all, she came on here bleary-eyed. She looks like she was sobbing right before they started shooting this, which maybe she was. You know, who knows? But her eyes are really watery anyway, but she looks like she's about to start sobbing because when he says that, she gives like a little...
Why are you sneering?
But to be fair, she always looks like that. She always looks like she's about to sob.
She does. I know, but her face shows nothing, so who really knows? You know, a sneer, a cry. So she's like, well, I'm really happy where we are in our relationship.
Broken up. Yeah. Friends.
All right. Well, Crabtree from Evelyn says, why did Austin call Madison a bored housewife? Is it because she's boring and when she's doing scenes at home being a housewife?
And Austin's like, in that moment in Jamaica, I was drunk and like quite literally everything was going south for me. And like, that's something to easily cop to. And I apologize because deflection on my part, for sure, for sure. Austin, your eyeballs are looking in the down and to the right. Are you really apologizing? I'm absolutely, now they're up to the left and I'm saying the same thing. So yes, I am being totally sincere right now.
He's just so full of lies. I mean, so really it just slipped out. You said it twice. You said it in two scenes. That was a totally pre-rehearsed Real Housewives diss that you just held on to and just kept saying to make sure it got in the edit. So she's like, oh yeah, well, at least you got to find somebody to beat your wife in the first place, Stephen. And Andy's like, okay, so I'm obsessed with you, Madison, basically. Oh, JT, speaking of obsessed. And JT's like, a couple of weeks ago, he was crying and calling her a monster. And now she's a bored housewife. I mean, come on. I mean, this is how we treat women. I mean, she can do no right for him. He harasses her no matter what. He's the patriarchy in a velvet jacket, Andy. That's what I say.
And then he goes, Austin, and Austin, you know what, JT, you couldn't possibly understand the relationship that Mass and I have. You couldn't possibly. And JT goes, oh, I think she's amazing. And her glow up compared to your glow down is iconic. I was like, oh, now you're just pandering to us. You're just pandering to us gays, aren't you?
Now, he is always pandering. He's such a try hard. I can't. And a glow down, just quiet down over there, fucking Thomas Ravenel pants.
So
he's in the white. He's even in the Southern Charm white capri pants. Well, his are not, they're like capris. They're like skin tight, silky capris. So I guess he's got his own twist on them, but yeesh, the Thomas pants.
I was like, JT, you were quite literally obsessed with me. It's so weird. He goes, Commodus, you are literally Commodus. Kiss my ring. Commodus, Commodus, you're Commodus.
Who? Who? The Emperor Commodus? He was slain by Narcissus. His reign is commonly thought to mark the end of a golden age of peace and prosperity in the history of the Roman Empire. Okay, nailed it. Why are they all bringing up emperors today?
Well,
Shep did it too before the show.
You know, this is a straight guy thing. The Roman Empire, although Napoleon's not part of that. But JT's like, yeah, remember? He hates Gladiator. Remember in the movie Gladiator? Thumbs down. Anyone? Anyone? I mean, we're going to set Voldemort in that big bird costume over there. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. God, you're naming too many characters in there. What are you going to do next? Name someone from 300? Well, this is Sparta. And Sparta had a great glow up. That's what I'm going to say about it.
I like that Andy can't even help kind of mocking JT too. He's like, God, you're an idiot. Jesus.
It is a lot.
And also like, you can't, you just can't help yourself, can you, nerd? Like, you just talk to hear yourself talk. Don't you, nerd? And he's like, I'm just trying to illuminate you for who you are, and I'm going to do it all day long.
So now there's like a break, and Craig is like, dude, I wanted to wear this, but in pink. And JT's like, oh, hey, bro, you're going to look good in anything. You're a regular Miranda Priestly. And now that I sort of have a crush on you, you know? It's not lost on me. I got a crush on you. And Austin's watching, and he's like, ugh.
Yeah, he's mad. He's like, well, Craig just thinks he's so funny. Like, he thinks that guy's so funny. Like, wow. You're just like so, and JT's like just staring up at him like, wow, you're so high up and hilarious. let's see. So Andy's like, we're back. So this season, Craig did the impossible. He's a man in Charleston who actually wants to settle down. But some people thought him and his girlfriend might not be
on the same page. Get it?
This year, Craig did the impossible. He walked by a wall without jamming a butter knife into it. Good job, Craig.
So now they're talking about Craig. Does he have sexual fetishes? Because they all hear he's into like S&M. And he's like, I'm whatever girls are into. And Leva goes, yeah, I've heard it from your exes. And they're like, Naomi? She goes, exes. Like, Naomi.
This is but, why.
I mean, it's not really S&M if Naomi just like put up things to try and trip Craig. It's not S&M.
It's not S&M if Naomi was literally tying Craig's hands behind his back so he would stop touching the sewing machine.
Naomi's like, I cut his brakes. It's S&M. I got off. He crashed into a tree. I got off on it.
My thrill comes from the female's joy because it's like not too hard to make a guy happy. And Matt says, it takes 3 minutes. And Andy's like, wow, so you're now kind of accessing something. I'm just remembering right now. I definitely have not been champing at the bit to bring this up the entire reunion. Hey, remember that conversation you had on the bus? I think it had something to do with Shep saying he doesn't let other girls finish, and he doesn't care about it either.
So he's like, Taylor, how many times did you come? And Taylor's like, well, I can count all the times I climaxed on one hand. Was it the same hand that you needed to use to masturbate because Shep couldn't make you come? God, I love this segment.
And she's like, huh? And Shep is like, hey, why did you want to get back together with me, Taylor? A lifetime of unsatisfaction? And she's like,
I love he goes, I'm sure it's frustrating for women who have trouble getting there. And I know that there's a lot of them. I just wish it were more easy for you guys as it is for the men. And Craig's like, that's just an excuse they tell you, stupid.
If you can't figure out the puzzle. And Shep goes, well, my tongue gets tired, man. It's really hard. I'm not like Austin, okay? I don't have a tongue that looks like the Verrazano Narrows Bridge.
I have to say I'm impressed that Shep gives oral. Or do you think his tongue is tired from like wagging with excuses? I don't know, because I would picture him not being an oral giver. Like he seems too selfish for that. So I'm impressed if that's what he means.
Yeah, I would not have thought about that. Yeah, I would not have. Or I should say I would not have expected that from Shep either.
Well. Yeah. Okay, so Craig is, sorry, I was looking at my notes.
Let's just think about that for a moment. Yeah.
So they ask Craig about his pillow business. He's like, oh, yeah, we're 8 figures now. So we're in Kroger stores, and we have 30 employees. Guess what they have? Health insurance, guys. So, yeah. It's been fun.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
They all had to sign the contract with a clause that says if you work for Sewing Down South, you can't be friend with your exes.
And like 90% of this cast who have never been employees with healthcare are like, I mean, I guess. What that means. Do they not have parents? Are they orphans? Why would they be working?
Healthcare. What, like, isn't that just something that you get from your parents? Yeah.
So is that where, so their dad just answers the phone and pays the bill?
What's an HMO? Is that a brand?
Not in my town. I'll tell you that much. Not in my town. So Andy's like, okay. Dying from Alone says, can we just all admit that Paige is never moving to Charleston? Okay, can we? Who thinks that Paige is actually going to move to this dump? And Austin, Madison, and Olivia raise their hands. And he looks at Madison like, Marilyn Monroe, don't lie to me. And she's like, well, I mean, I don't think full time, but I think she'll keep coming. And Austin's like, well, maybe when they have kids, because, you know, like, they can transition where they just, like, have kids and, like, you can still live a life in New York. I mean, it's so easy. Which, no, you can't. What's... Is that true? You can just have kids and then live part-time in New York?
I don't think so. So Andy is... Well, look. Craig is ultimately going to sell his company. That's just the way it goes. And once he sells that company, he doesn't have to be tied to the store. The issue is they are both in different franchises that are geographically tied to locations. So that is going to be... That's the real issue. So... Andy, he's like, Shep, we were talking about conspiracy theories. We forgot to mention your own personal one. You're not sure that Paige exists because she's never around. She hates you so much. So Shep is like, yeah, gosh, it's really, really hard. You know, it's really, really hard to have a relationship on camera. You know, that's it put a lot of strain on me and Taylor. And Andy's like, so you think you got off scot-free?
So it wasn't that you were an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that you were an asshole. It's that commenters on Instagram were telling Taylor that you were an asshole. And that's what got you in the end.
Right. Which
it turns out to be the truth. That is really what he thinks.
It is. He's not someone who it turns out, believes in a lot of personal agency, and he gets called out on it. So Shep is like, yeah, well, you know, Craig is smart, LOL. He's strategic in that manner, LOL again. You know, and as Napoleon says, when you're put under a white light and people start picking at loose threads, things can go really sideways.
And Andy's like, so Craig, is that what you're doing, is keeping Paige off camera to not hurt your relationship? And he's like, well, you know, I'm not gonna lie, there have been times when Paige went up to her own bedroom in my house, which I also have, which was built by people possibly with insurance, but those were employees too. And I forgot what we were talking about. You guys know I'm rich, right? I don't clean. So, but yeah, Paige hates these people.
So. Yeah. And, you know, like, have there been a few times, like, you know, where, like, Paige's want to go upstairs and be like, I don't want to, like, hang out with the group? Like, yeah. So, I don't know if he actually, she says that. He says that right now. I got lost. But Shep is, like, saying, like, Andy's like, Shep basically says, if it weren't for the show, he and Taylor would probably have been married right now, which I don't believe whatsoever. Cameras or no cameras, it would not have. We all know this. I'm not. This is not breaking news. Me saying this, breaking news. But
Well, Craig's like, you guys broke up because of infidelity. So you think that without cameras that wouldn't have happened? And he goes, no, we would be married. There would be nobody to tell her that I cheated on her.
Yeah, exactly. Duh.
I mean, my God. So this fucking guy, he has not changed at all. He is the worst. And Andy, everyone's like, wow. And Mava goes, did you just say that? And he goes, yeah, because, you know, I wouldn't be as distracted. I would be a different person. I'd be like, this is a person I care about. And I can verbally abuse her and stomp on eggs in fields. And that's it. She's mine.
Yeah, I was like, think of all the camp games you could play where you could yell at her in the middle of it. So Craig's like, yeah, it's just like so tough to be with a person that, you know, is saying they're supposed to be together and that there's still love. It's like, I'd be like, why don't we fix this? And Shep was like, all I'll say is that she was right about a lot of things in her analysis of me. And I kind of realized a lot of things here recently that we will continue to talk about. That's coming up later on Shep's Life.
I just want everybody to know before I go back to a life of hanging out in my own bar where people are already flirting with me for drinks, I'm a very sad person who got dumped.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Andy's like, so Taylor, you look like you've got... I don't know. Can anyone explain what Taylor's face is doing? I'm not sure if it's moving or if the shrooms are kicking in. Taylor, someone take her pulse, please.
This season, Taylor was singled, unfettered, unfiltered, and by all accounts, a huge disaster. What? But was this newly independent woman who seemed to really love big yellow yarny turtleneck sweaters finding her voice or losing her manners?
And his question to her is, all this time had passed since you and, like, a good chunk of time had passed since you and Shep broke up, so why were you all of a sudden upset when you saw him? And she's like, well, he was, like, you know, traveling, so it was, like, out of sight and out of mind, but then when he came back to Charleston and cameras turned back on, I started, like, pretending to cry more, you know?
I thought I was making good steps forward, but I hadn't. So, and then Andy asked about, like, he goes, the dildo gift had a lot of viewers talking. I'm like, I guarantee no one was talking about the dildo gifts, but anyway. So basically someone wrote in saying, like, I've heard of champagne flutes, but dildos, not classy. I love to think of the person who was like, I am so incensed by that dildo in the very first episode at this party that I'm going to have to write in a letter. Be like, not classy with that dildo at the Southern Charm party.
Madison's like, well, I mean, maybe if it was my bachelorette or something, but not my first time meeting my husband. I mean, who does that? Okay, but could we put a dildo in Shep's mouth real quick? Because he's already starting to bother me. I mean, he told me to shut up. Did everyone hear it? I didn't talk about it right now, but he did. And it was not nice. And Shep's like, oh, wow, I can't believe you, of all people, can recognize rudeness. I'm going to shake my ankle at you. Shake, 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 shake.
As Napoleon Bonaparte said, takes one to know one, bonjour. So Andy is like, all right, well, I want to move on to something else that the audience vaguely cares about instead of this dildo thing. And we're obviously going to talk about your relationship with Austin and Olivia later. But first, the group is clearly very pro nude photos and sexting. But one of the biggest bombshells this season was a risque photo that Taylor sent.
We still don't have a human resources here, right? Okay, no? Okay, let's go on with this. Okay, go ahead and answer, Taylor.
Yeah. She's like, oh my God, that's such a great question. Well, here's what happened. I heard that Shep and Whitney were gallivanting around town, and then, like, they were bringing women back to Patricia's house, and then I was petty and I was weak, so I texted Whitney, like, so this is what you're looking for? I hope you're having fun, and put, like, two middle fingers up, and Andy's like, oh, so you were doing to spite Shep. That's fun. I don't like how you were ashamed about it. I don't like it, okay? As someone who's basically sent his dick to many, many people, it's completely acceptable, okay? Let's not shame Taylor.
And by the way, during all this, JT's like looking at the ceiling like, oh, I can't bear to hear my precious buttercup Taylor being savage like this. I'm not shaming Taylor for her nude photo. I do think it's like, I'm shaming her for her strange use of pettiness. Why if they're going out to find girls, why are you sending a nude photo to them? Like, why any photo? Why you get, like, don't do this. Like, this is bad pettiness. This is just like not useful pettiness. It's like, you can be petty in a better way.
It's sad, desperate, you know, sad and desperate. As we found out later in the season when she was saying, I just texted Austin all that stuff about you want me to come over, or no. So whatever, whenever she was caught flirting with Austin, she's like, I was just doing that to make Shep mad, you know? So she's just like begging for the attention, and they're just not giving it to her. Instead, they're passing around the picture and laughing at her. And it's just like, I mean, no matter how much you don't like Taylor, which I know a lot of people really hate Taylor,
That was gross, the passing around of the photo.
No one wants their nudes passed around while everybody's laughing, especially by your boss.
Yeah, well, sir. The thing is that Whitney should have had the same reaction of us, which is like, this is just kind of like sad. Like, she's definitely spiraling. This is sad. Like, how could, like, if someone sent me I'm not going to show around nudes anyway, but like, if someone sends me a nude where they're clearly spiraling, like, could you imagine like just being like, oh my God, look at this nude she sent me. Ooh. No.
So Andy's like, Vanita, how do you feel when people shamed your dog Charles because you and Madison shamed her over the nude photo? Charles really took a beating. People were really mean to Charles, Vanita. And she's like, I don't remember that. He's like, well, I just wanted to bring up 90% of your storyline, which was Charles in a sweater. So you're welcome.
Well, we weren't shaming her for the nude photo. We were shaming her for sending a nude photo to another friend in the group. And Mass is like,
and I've admitted that I've sent nude photos, okay? If I live in a rock, I am a slut. I'm a capital S slut. Listen, you don't bag A-Rod with turtlenecks, okay? You got to show the whole thing, okay? I'm not opposed to a nude.
And Craig's like, yeah, well, it opened a new can of worms because we were dealing like with you and the Austin thing already. And then there was like a nude picture. And Madison's like, but also, that was Whitney's girlfriend that told Patricia. Whitney wasn't showing it around to people. It's just that the girlfriend told Patricia.
And Andy's like, oh, huh? Wait, girlfriend? Does his girlfriend live in Canada? And is her name Georgia Glass? Literally never heard that term before.
Georgina. So everyone's like, yeah, what, huh? Girlfriend. So then, Andy then asked Taylor if he hooked up if she hooked up with Whitney. And she's like, absolutely not. And Shep's like, you know, way after the fact, Whitney was like, you know, I know you and love you. And I have love for Taylor. And I think she's in over her head. And this is a byproduct of that. And I said, yes, that's exactly what it is. Well, I hated when you used to like date and she'd be excited to send you a naked photo and you'd tell her not to, bro. Oh
my God, this is such a Shep thing to say too. He's like, well, yeah, but it's because I'm weird about that. I don't want my girlfriend or anybody I'm dating to be, you know, like, and Andy goes, you hold them to a different standard. And he goes, yeah, I kind of like to see him that way. Like Caligula said, I want a saint in the kitchen, a whore in the bedroom, and 30 seconds to shoot before I eat my buckshot pheasant, you know?
Yeah. Shep is basically like, don't worry, I will very politely but clearly slut shame nude for this situation. So,
yes. He's like, you can be a slut when you're not my girlfriend. How about that? And so Madison's like, oh, yes, you just like nudes from strangers. And that's okay. And they all laugh. But that is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yes. So Craig is saying, like, so JT, why are you huffing and puffing? And JT is literally sitting there, like, in his little white pants, like, I'm like, oh my God, even your plugs are shaking, dude. I'm like, calm down over there.
Well, I just can't believe that Shep doesn't like receiving nudes and can't make a girl come. And so Shep is like, oh, all right. Well, you know what? Let me put together a list of satisfied customers, JT, and repeat customers. And Andy's like, okay, well, at JT's dinner, why did you go after Madison, by the way, instead of Whitney, considering he's the one who showed everyone, Taylor? And she goes, no, I was addressing Whitney, and then Madison stepped in. Okay, and by the way, you can't even see anything. It's not even an explicit photo. And Love was like, actually, I don't want to throw you under the bus, but I also saw this photo, and I also showed it to everyone who works at Republic, and we all agreed we can see a lot.
We actually had it blown up and put on the lit sign that says, like, happy batch party. It was really popular, actually.
Oisin tried to have sex with it.
And she's like, well, then if you saw it, then you know, then it was just like a photo of me and it said, come one, come all. And then there was a text. It was like, is this what you're looking for? And that's it. And she's like, no, you know, I remember because I was bathing my son thinking, God, this is joyful. What a joyful time for me. And I almost dropped my phone in the bathtub as I read the whole thread. It was a lot. Okay. I mean, yikes, you guys. Even Leva saw it. Nobody talks to Leva. This is terrible, Whitney. Did you post it on, like, the fucking community Facebook? Like, how did Leva see it? Nobody speaks to Leva. I don't even know why she's here.
And Leva says, yeah, you were saying things like, come fuck me in Nashville. And Taylor's like, what? When was I ever in Nashville? And he's like, oh.
Now, this was believable because Taylor looked like, what? Absolutely not. You know, because when she lies, she's like, well, nah. But this one, she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? When was I in Nashville? But I just need to remind everybody, Taylor is from Asheville. So.
Yeah, there could have been a.
That could have just been a mystery.
I was thinking that too. That's funny.
Well, because you know, I opened the internet and was like, Taylor Ann Green in Nashville. Of course, I was like, when was she in Nashville? I'm gonna put this date with that date and I'm gonna catch somebody in something. But then, it reminded me that she's from Nashville.
And it's like, so were there multiple DMs over multiple sessions? And Taylor's like, I don't remember. She's like, I deleted every message with Whitney. And Leva's like, well, there's a lot of, like, Whitney going LOL and him being like, is this you? And you're like, it's a girl who your friend used to stick his dick in. By the way, that is a very broad description of many people who've been on this show and probably who have not been on this show. Let's be honest.
Also, it just got so much sadder because Whitney didn't even have her name in his phone. He had to ask who it was. And she had to, like, give him clues. And she's on his show.
He's like,
I mean, and it is his show. Like, Whitney is the creator and producer of this show. I mean, it's just.
Are you a Russ Meyers fan? So Leva is like, she's like, you know, I asked him why he was showing the guys, and he was like, well, I wasn't trying to, but I was embarrassed. You can't do that, Whitney.
Lie. And Craig's like, nah, he was hammered and he was bragging about it. I mean, yeah, too bad Whitney's not here again because he's the bad guy in the situation. I mean, except for the fact that you were like texting one of Shep's friends, which wasn't cool either, but. And she's like, okay, Jesus.
Hey,
so then JT's
hey,
like,
I want to speak up. Okay, I've been divorced and there's some grace that needs to be given to pretty ladies who remind you of a fish on a line. Okay, so if Taylor. By the way, if you want to send me nudes, don't worry. I will be very discreet about them. So feel free to use my number if you need to. Okay? Just going to put that out there. Yeah. Put that out there to the world.
It's like, I just like to be the one to stand for women because women do not understand picture sending. And I think we all need to understand that women are just too stupid to really know what they're doing. So can we just give women some grace already? You know, here's what I say. Let women vote.
In the great words of Tom Cruise in Magnolia, let the ladies vote. Am I right?
Is that an emperor?
Close enough, Andy. Close enough. So Olivia's like, you know what? You cannot put that on Shep and what she did. And I'm so tired of you saying that, JT.
And she's like, I made a mistake. I would never say I did this because of Shep. I'm very capable of my own actions, even though I've said the whole season I was doing it to get back at Shep. But still.
Yeah, he's like, Shep, you seem to have a lot of guilt about Taylor's behavior. Well, I brought her into this crazy world. Yeah, and she has she changed? Well, not because of the show, but the breakup. And Craig's like, you're talking to her like she's a child. Like to say you're responsible for a 30-year-old's actions is kind of conceited.
I wish that they had put in a clip of Paige just being like, chew your food, Craig.
All right, Craig, you need to have one more bite or you're not leaving the table. Choo-choo.
Craig, that's a shelf for sunbathing. Choo-choo. Where are your swimmies?
Andy's like, okay, so mail from Box Money says Shep taking the blame for Taylor's actions is robbing her of her agency. Snapple, feminism flavored. What say you, Shep? And Shep's like, I take great pride in her development.
She's not an iOS platform. So Andy is like, that's not the point. You actually just made it sound so much worse right now. He's like, oh, okay. Okay, Taylor, do you want to say what the point is? Can you stop scowling for a moment? And she's like, okay. You can't take responsibility for how I'm acting. I'm responsible for how I was acting.
Well, listen, I'm just empathetic sympathetic, like Emperor Ashoka. To do good is difficult. One who does good first does something hard to do, like making a woman come. Oh my gosh, I just came. I hope you're done. I'm going to sleep. Good night. Gosh. Gosh. Gosh.
All right. Well, in happier news, Taylor, you have a new boyfriend. Is he real?
She's like, yeah, he's great. He is TJ's roommate, and his name is Gaston.
Whoa.
I died. And he's like, who's TJ?
From Southern Hospitality.
What's that?
It's another show on your channel.
Not familiar. So is he the first person you've dated since Shep? What's so great about him?
I only date cartoonishly chauvinistic men, Andy.
Gaston. So Shep has met Gaston before. They met for like 5 minutes. And he said, yeah, well, I met him at BravoCon. And I said, I wish you all the best. She's the best. And she's good for you. And if she goes missing in my castle for a certain number of weeks, just know I'm doing my best to reverse the curse.
What am I supposed to do about it? I had a really good conversation with him. I said, I wish you well, buddy. And then I walked 10 steps and turned around and finger gunned him to death.
So I was like, yeah, well, that's not what I heard. Rodrigo told me at BravoCon that you guys were fighting. And Shep goes, yeah, I did hear that I greatly upset Taylor at BravoCon, apparently, according to what people say.
So Andy's like, did he upset you at BravoCon? And Taylor's like, well, Gaston was upset that Shep came up to me, smacked my ass at the bar, and then I didn't know how to react because my ex is meeting my current boyfriend for the first time. And Gaston said, listen here, little lady. No one's slick as Gaston. No one's quick as Gaston. And no one's neck is incredibly thick as Gaston. You better take care of this or Gaston out.
I don't remember any of this, actually. And he's like, did you slap her on the ass? He's like, well, Andy, that's not how I say hello to Taylor. My chosen method is to take her by the shoulders and put her up against the wall and be like, hi!
Yeah, I don't smack her ass to say hello. That's how I say hello to the cleaning lady. Or the lady at the bank.
Or that one waitress at Republic.
Oh, God. So Andy's like, well, were you drunk, Shep? And he goes, yeah, I was drunk. Well, then how can you even know what you did? This narrative on Bravo that when people drink, they suddenly have an excuse to not remember anything that happened ever is a little much, okay? Shep is here apologizing, and it gets sad later, but at this point in the program, I'm 90. At this point in the episode, I'm thinking, you finally got called out by everybody, and that's why you're acting so ridiculous. It gets sadder later, but well, for now, that's how I feel.
It actually gets sad right about now, because Andy goes, hey, Shep.
Oh, good. Okay.
You told me at the beginning of the day there was something on your mind you wanted to say to the group. Was there a song you wanted to sing or a poem, or did you want to bring in a memento of what you got on a family trip to Montreal? What do you want for show, bring for show and tell? So then,
guys, I'm glad you're all here. This is a mea culpa.
What's that?
Okay, let me rephrase this for Taylor. It's a mama mea culpa. Okay, oh, she'll pay attention to that.
I love mea culpa. I'm gonna see her in concert. Not Dua Lipa. Mea culpa. Olivia. So he's like, I'm at a crossroads.
Well, I'm at a crossroads because BravoCon was sort of the impetus. You know, I got a little out of control in Vegas, and I really don't remember, but I scared the shit out of me. Really scared. I had to talk with my close friends back in Charleston about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm super, super, super scared. You know, I guess it's how most people feel when 8 in the morning comes and an alarm clock bell rings and they have to get up to go to something called work. Oh, I'm shivering.
All right. Let's dial back for a second. You're going a little too fast. Olivia, did you understand the word impetus? No. Okay. We'll just deal with that in post.
Yeah, he can't get it up. Everybody knows that.
Sorry for being verbose. So he's like, all right, well, I know the answer to this, unfortunately, but can you explain what happened to you at BravoCon? Because this would be a great promotion for next year's BravoCon for people to come. You see these people be disasters. Okay, go on.
And he's like, he said, I will say the other thing I saw at BravoCon, he's like, Austin was really trying to make you presentable. And you didn't realize that as he was doing that, you know, he was being a real friend to you, as we were when you came to Watch What Happens Live, fall down drunk, and we just kept serving you more and more drinks.
That was pretty good.
Thank you to all the liquor sponsors.
Yeah, he was being a real friend to you. I'm like, why are you trying to give some sort of redemptive quality to Austin, and I don't need this right now. So Shep's like, yeah, I appreciate
it. He's trying to make them all make up, and it looks like they're about to break up, right? Because Shep explains that they all explain that Shep, when they said I had talked to all of my good friends in Charleston, Shep came back and nobody would speak to him after BravoCon because he made such an ass and was so mean to everybody. And then he tried to have a brunch with all of his friends, and Craig and Austin both refused to go because they were like, fuck this guy. Like, here's what we've done a million times is Shep makes an ass out of all of us, and then he gets to just, like, we get to go to brunch and watch him eat with his mouth open while he, you know, apologizes and then repeats the cycle.
It's happened 17 times. This road that you're on ends with a cliff, and I can't be in that car anymore. It's like I always say, don't be in cars with your exes. And that's why I didn't go to the meeting, because we've all driven with people, reckless drivers who are drunk. We all drive with drunk drivers. Am I right, everyone? That's universal. And we're like, this guy has nothing to lose. And after BravoCon, it was dark, but like, he was going to ruin his life. And hold on. What was the rest of that part, Paige? Oh, yeah. I have to be okay with that because we've been here before. Thanks, Paige.
Okay, so this part really did get to me because they're basically telling him, you're going to be dead soon. Like, you are at rock bottom. You've been at rock bottom. I don't even want to be your friend because I've accepted that you're just going to be dead. I mean, they're telling him that. And that's so sad. I mean, to anybody who's dealt with addiction in their family or in themselves, hi, raising my hand, that's scary, you know, and I get it. And it's sad to watch Shep, like, cry and do this whole thing. I mean, it's sad, but at the same time, I also know that cycle of the abuse and the addiction to where it's not up to everybody else to forgive you, you know? Like, you're still doing nothing to change, really, right? And so sometimes as a friend, you do need to... Sometimes as the addict, you need to be cut off, and sometimes as the friend, you need to cut that person off. And I've been in both places, but it's fucking so sad to watch this, for me at least. And then fucking JT jumps in, and because Austin's like, come on, man, I've been your best friend up here. And JT goes, oh, really? You're the best friend? Shut up, dude. Like, they're having a serious conversation. Shut the fuck up with your Yolanda Foster pants. Just be quiet. It's not about you. So annoying. Wheel him away.
So, Shep, it's interesting because Shep, they're saying like you're at rock bottom, but Shep also seems to have realized this too to some degree. And Shep is like, I just, you know what, I would love your support and help at any time. And Andy's like, I think they're saying they've been supporting you and now they're at the end of their rope. And he just said, Shep's like, yeah, well, you know, he says, I'm in the headspace of needing to make some changes. He goes, the music stopped and these boys have their podcast, Craig has his pillows, and I just didn't have anything. And I thought, who am I? Which, by the way, this is like, this is real shit. This is what we've always been like, this is what, you know, Shep is jealous. Like, they're all starting to get their lives together. He hasn't, but this is the first time he's really acknowledged it, which I thought was very significant. And he's like, you know, how am I a value to anyone? And you're hurting yourself, bro. And it's physiological. I can't do the things I used to be able to do. I've been, you know, going hard, pedal the metal, full throttle, my body, my mind together. Like, they're telling me, no, 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 sir, you have to stop. And I'm losing my body, my mind, and I'm mixing that with fear. And I can't do it the way I used to. And it's a tough pill to swallow because, man, I was Mr. Fun Guy and I had a reputation for being outrageous. Like, I thought this was very compelling. This is someone coming to terms with the fact that, like, everyone has started to move on. And now he has not been able to, and he was always the fun. When he said the music stopped, which is sort of a cliche, but I was like, ooh, this guy is going through it right now.
Yeah. You know, I always have two sides in me that's always arguing because I'm like, how manipulative is he being? You know what I mean? Because then they ask him, did you quit drinking? And he's like, well, I quit taking shots.
Yeah, that was the funniest part.
And it's like, okay.
After all that.
That's also kind of a typical thing to say, right? It's like when you're trying. But, you know, people like this are very good at apologizing. And they get really, really good at telling people what they want to hear to get the mea culpa. And then now I'm doing it on television. But it's the cynical part. The first part of me is like crying. And then the second part of me is like, but wait a minute, is this just more manipulation? And is this also setting him up for the next season where he's like the Shep 5.0 thing?
Oh, no.
You know? So I guess I'm just going to put all that aside for now and stick with my initial, like, just feeling
sick. I think it was real. I think it was because it was a little too dark.
It's probably a mix of both.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I just think that it was too real. It was like too much.
Well, I don't think it's fake. I mean, I'm
sorry. No. I don't. I'm sorry. I wasn't saying it was fake.
I know you're not accusing me of saying that, but I'm not saying it's fake. It's just, I'm not sure if it's just another step on the cycle, you know, where it's just like another apology and then it reverts to the same thing.
You know what? I think it's like just too dark. It's like too dark to just be a ploy. Maybe I'm being naive, but like, it just is to admit that you are in a rut and that like, life has moved on without you and your friends have moved on and you're realizing like you're just like, it's not the same. That is like, that's a tough pill to swallow. I don't know. I don't know if a manipulator could even say that.
No pun intended.
Exactly. But then my favorite is Madison going, cause he's like, well, I don't drink liquor and I don't do shots, but I drink beer still. And Madison's like, oh shit. I thought he was going to rehab or something. Be like sober. I almost cried. Damn it.
I know the people on these shows. I mean, it's like Memories of Vanderpump Rules where Sheena was married to an addict and she's like, I mean, you're not drinking anything at all? Like, come on. Like, oh, by the way, can I have one of each of these prime cocktails? It's great. Thanks.
So Craig is saying he actually doesn't drink very much anymore. He's like, you know, I'm an addict. And he just feels like Shep is really sad. He's like, I love you, and I'm sorry, and I hate saying that stuff, but it seems like you're open to it. And then Shep, actually, this was shocking when Shep goes, I'll follow your lead, Craig. I will follow your lead. It's like, damn, that is a first.
And by the way,
Craig is like, oh, I quit drinking liquor just like you, but then I had to go further. And it's like, yeah, we saw on television. And I hope that's when it was, when he was on Winterhouse acting like such a fucking asshole. Yeah. Oh my God, this guy. You know, Craig is so charming and so cute that you really forget what a piece of shit he can be. And that one was really bad. For those of you who didn't watch, he was just like... like they all do on that show, spilling shit all over the floors, making a mess. And then when people are cleaning up, he's like, I refuse to clean up. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm rich, basically. He's like, I'm rich now. I don't have to do this shit. Like, my parents own a cleaning company. I'm not the one who cleans. And he, like, did all this shit. And I'm like, oh, God. I hope that that was the walk back moment.
Yeah.
You know, because that was dark.
There probably also was a moment, I would not be surprised. This is total conjecture. But with Sewing Down South starting to do really well, I feel like probably Jerry, his partner, was like, listen, Craig, this is doing well. You can't fuck it up. You got to clean up your act, okay? So Taylor, Craig's like, I was asked if there's anything Shep could do to salvage the friendship. And I said, everything and anything. If he does one thing, I'm there. I love good Shep. All he has to do is turn off this road, but he's too proud to do it. And Shep's like, I've lost my pride. I'll do it. So Andy asks what Taylor's reaction is. And she's like, it makes me happy. And despite popular belief, I know the real Shep. And he's an incredible, kind, smart human being. The sort of thing that people who enable monsters say. Shep's just saying, you know, he really thought he was a rock star. He thought he was.
And Vanita gets, she's asked her opinion and she's like, I mean, it's a big, you know, it's a big step to admit something like that, but you know, you really have to quit completely. You can't just like slow down. And Leah's saying, you know, like the secret is like, you really have to want something more. Like Craig wants more. You know, you can't just, like, drinking's fun and eating a ton of chocolate's fun. But you have to want something more than that to stop doing it. And Andy's
like
just looks at Shep like, I mean, Shep's just looking like what? Name one. Could you give me a hint?
What is that word you said? Career? Is that what? I'm not sure I know that. So Andy's like, well, it may be that this, like, you may, like, that this, that, like, what you want to continue, like, you know, like, you may be at the precipice where all this is not, like, a healthy environment. Stay tuned. I think I could do it. I appreciate your support. If you're hinting that you want to fire me, I'll be a good boy. I'll be a good boy. I swear, Andy.
So then it's break, and Andy's like, wow, good job. You did good, Shep. Okay, take it seriously. Bye. So then Taylor and Shep are hugging, and he's like, I really wanted to say those things privately to you, I guess. And she's like, I guess I'm proud of you. And he goes, oh, yeah. Well, now tell everyone how bad I am at sex, you bitch. And so they kind of laugh, and then we're back to the show. Dun, 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 dun. So now it's about Austin and Shep, and you know, they just had this great trip together in Australia, and Shep saying, oh yeah, we could have actually talked on that, but he kept lying to me. And Andy's like, well, what if on that trip he admitted to hooking up with Taylor? What would you feel? And he's like, I would have at least processed it, Andy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Austin is talking about how, yeah, he says like, yeah, we had a complete blast. It was a great time that we had. And Austin's like, yeah, well, I feel sorry for this, Shep. I feel sorry I didn't tell you in Australia, you know? And I thought that since like, it was such like a non-factor, like I quite literally thought nothing would come from it because like nothing did come when it happened. So like nothing's going anywhere.
So Shep's like, okay, look, here's the problem with all this. Austin said on the season, on camera, like, Shep wouldn't have even gotten Taylor if I had gone to the bar before he met her. And then we see a clip of Craig, you know, them wasted at Whitney's house. And Craig saying, yeah, but remember, Austin, you said at the Commodore, if Shep hadn't taken her home, you would have. So I took that at the time as meaning they were all there together when they met Taylor. And that Shep took her home first or something.
That's how I took it. That's kind of how I took it
there. And it's not really clarified, but I don't know why it matters. But it's also, it just goes to show what a piece of shit Austin really is even more. Because the Commodore is Shep's bar. Mm-hmm. He owns that bar.
And Austin is in there drinking for fucking free, probably in a bar that Shep's carrying his alcohol and shit-talking Shep and saying, what a fucking loser.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's like, yeah, you know how arrogant that is to be like, if I got to her first, bro, you guys never would have fallen in love and spent 2.5 years ago. Do you realize how arrogant that is to say that to someone who's very proud of her development? Gosh, the arrogance.
And Andy's like, well, what do the women think? And Madison's like, I believe Austin, because if he had gotten to Taylor first, they'd have been together. That's just how it is. And Olivia goes, yeah, and they should have. Like, that's what I've been saying. Like, they should, like, if they should just be together then. Like, they cause all this hullabaloo or whatever. So just do it.
Yeah. Give it a shot now. And Taylor's like, no, absolutely not. And by the way, I was also into Shep a million times over. And Love was like, yeah, well, I think, like, the big thing for this group is, like, you're not thinking about, like, what happened in the moment where, like, you're thinking about, like, what happened in the moment, whereas we're all thinking about, like, what your friend did was, like, so messed up. And, like, you continue to lie to these two people the entire time, and it makes all of us want to just take a step back from both of you. Although the truth is we'll still hang out with Austin, but we won't hang out with you, Taylor.
And she's like, but I understand the severity of hurting a friend, though. And Craig's like, no, you keep saying you're sorry it hurt, okay? But, you know, and Taylor's saying, it's wrong. You know, they're trying to explain to Taylor for the millionth time, you know? And Olivia's like, you know what? Like, you keep trying to make it sound like, you know, it's our fault for not just understanding it was a drunken moment, but you lied so many times to my face over and over again.
Yeah. She's like, you expect me to hop on the forgiveness wagon? And because I didn't, you know, y'all proceeded to say, I'm just so tired of this, you know? Well, you're tired of it. Y'all are in the shit bed that you made. You got Olivia'd. So Taylor's like, no, I never said it was the problem. And Taylor's like, yeah, well, you said it, you made it seem like it was my fault that this was dragging out, you know? And she's like, well, I'm just saying, forgive.
Like the Emperor Jesus Christ said, forgive as you want to be forgiven. That well, Jesus wasn't an emperor, stupid. God, Taylor, geez.
God, what about your development?
Sorry, everybody.
Your development is ruined.
I'm sorry that she did that.
Sorry, it was my fault.
Okay? I'll keep better watch over her, everybody.
I knew I shouldn't have broken up with her. Look at her quoting emperors that didn't exist.
Go ahead and say it. I know what you're trying to say. Go ahead and say it. And she's like, well, you know, Andy's like, okay, let me help you because Taylor, I can't tell if Taylor's, did somebody put batteries in Taylor? Okay, Taylor, you're basically saying the implication is Olivia's done something too. She goes, yeah, to a friend and a confidant and a confidant. Okay. And Craig's like, well, you might as well say it. We're all here. And she goes, you know, the whole Thomas situation. And Andy goes, Thomas Ravenna?
No, Thomas is English muffins.
I was like, what? What? And then Olivia just goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. What the fuck? And then we see, oh, so she says, yeah, I was fresh out of college, 20 years old, just fresh out of college, like drunk as a skunk. And it was like one night I hooked up with T-Rav. And Austin's like, wow, T-Rav.
Yeah.
Wow,
legend.
That guy is fucking magical at this point. Like, what the hell?
Congrats to Olivia, by the way, on finishing her degree at 20. And so she's like, yeah. She's like, yeah, I had to hook up with T-Rav, and I wanted to take it to my grave. And, like, who wouldn't, you know? Who would actually be proud about dating T-Rav, hooking up with T-Rav?
They all crack up. And then she reminds us that Madison called it out last year. Now, maybe that's why this wasn't such a bomb to anybody else, but I don't even remember this. And then we see the clip of Madison being like, well, I mean, I think Thomas and Olivia, right? And she's like, me? And then Taylor immediately jumped in and said, oh my God, that's so fucking random. Like, why would you say that? And Olivia's saying, no, no, he's just a family friend. So I think I just blew it off and just believed it. And Olivia's like, well, right after that, I sat down with Taylor and I was like, well, thanks for sticking up for me, but like it did happen. And now here you are, you know, betraying me with this information. You're the only person on earth. I said it. And Taylor goes, on earth?
I don't know why it made me laugh.
So, meaning what?
No, I laughed.
Oh, sorry. I can't stop now. I'm like,
I know. You just go. Just go.
Keep getting
lost. I see. You're like wound up.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
No, so Andy's like, he's like, well, what does she need to be forgiven for hooking up? Why does she need to be forgiven for hooking up for T-Rab? And Taylor's like, it's the same situation. Catherine is a friend and a confidant. Yeah, you lied about it. Why didn't you go to Catherine and say, I'm sorry?
And JT's kind of nodding proudly at Taylor, like this fucking guy. He's like, yeah, there she goes. That's my girl. And Leva's like, I mean, because she was embarrassed about it. Okay, well, Leva, like, you're the one who's like marching on about accountability this whole time. So Olivia's saying, well, I didn't know Catherine then. But then if you start doing the math, if she was 20, she's 31 now. So that would have, if according to her and her timeline, that would have been like what, 2012, right before or during the show shooting, which is the same time Thomas started hooking up with the other 20-year-old on the show, Catherine, who Whitney was also hooking up with at that time. So were these guys just going around Charleston fucking every 20-year-old they could find and dangling the show over their head?
Yes.
That's really gross.
Well,
because that's what it comes off to.
I believe that maybe Olivia said she was 20. I mean, she probably was 22 or so. But so that probably adds a few years because Taylor says it's right after baby number two.
Well, that's when it changes, right? Because Olivia says, I didn't know Catherine. I met Catherine after it happened. And Taylor goes, no, you said it was 5 years ago after baby number two. Well, 5 years ago, Olivia would have been 26, not 20. So,
who's telling the truth?
Oh, well, Olivia's...
Either way, gross. Thomas, gross. Thomas is such a fucking pig. I think, and by the way, that's like the ultimate here. It's just like, Thomas. Ugh.
So Olivia's like, well, she's been sitting here chomping at the bit to use against me. Not only have you proven yourself to be a shit friend, you're a shit human too. Mea culpa. So they go to a break, and then Olivia just curses her way backstage. Fucking, 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 fuck.
No, she calls her a fucking C word.
Oh, yeah.
And then stomps back to the back.
Whoops.
Yikes.
Well, the reunion continues next week, so we're going to find out what happens next on the shit show. It's good times. I enjoyed it. I liked it. It was a good reunion so far.
Yeah, it was a good reunion. It was overall good. Wow, crazy. I mean, I thought it was a bomb. I was like, wow, everybody. That's why they're all in Scandoval colors. But obviously, it's not the same thing as what Taylor did, because Taylor and Olivia were like best friends. So I don't want anybody to think there's like any slut shaminess in this. My thing is just like, how many young people were these guys fucking at the beginning of the show? It's just bad and just gross.
I guess I'm just not surprised anymore when I find out that someone on the show slept with Whitney or T-Rav, because it's happened so many times. I'm numb to it. Last year when Naomi and Whitney like hooked up, I think that was the final thing where I'm like, I don't think I could ever be shocked by this anymore. It's just, this is just the way the show operates. So like,
well, and there was a thing this year, we didn't talk about it on here because I don't really believe it, but there was this thing where, and I think Olivia even addressed it on her Instagram, but Whitney wears a lightning bolt on he wears a lightning bolt necklace, and then Olivia was photographed or in these scenes wearing a lightning bolt necklace too. So everyone's like, oh my God, is this like literally another Scandoval? And it's the necklace says TCB, which means taking care of business, which is Elvis's necklace. He wore that all the time. That was his motto, was taking care of business.
Why?
And I don't think Elvis.
I'm sorry. I meant to say I would have added a Y to that necklace, so that way it would be TCBY.
And I don't know if Olivia said that Whitney loaned it to her. So I don't know if it's because he lost his father and she lost her brother. And it was like a sign of support or something. But there was that rumor, you know, kind of going on the whole season, which we didn't really bring up. But, you know, it all just becomes more interesting with that revelation. But I don't know. I feel like maybe someone else should be left up to casting for a while, because it gets really cringy.
All right. Well, everyone,
watch year after year.
We are at the end of the episode. Thanks so much for all being here for this wacky, wacky reunion with so many, so many dark sides to it. We still have Real Housewives of Miami, which will be posted sometime after this. So if you're wondering where that is, it's going to be coming up soon. Don't forget to get your tickets to the Crappies. And we will catch you in the next one. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.